This is Rain Hamcast number 54, posted November 13th, 2021 on the rainreport.com and on the YouTube Rain Report channel. See the link on the rainreport.com's main menu. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Have you ever had the chance to participate in an amateur radio census? Well, now you can. The Maryland ham making this possible is Jim Alejanak, K3MRI. In his QRZ bio, Jim describes himself as husband, dad, military, humanitarian, adventurer, filmmaker, photographer, amateur radio operator, K3MRI, and vegan. Continuing to read from his QRZ bio, in high school I was the newspaper and yearbook photographer. In college, while studying both physics and communications, photography was my source of income. Throughout my life, I have sold my images. I was also the founding president of the Forum for the Analysis of Communications and Trends, the strategist behind the World Urban Campaign, an advisor to the World AIDS Campaign, and a founding board member of the World Prevention Alliance. I continue to provide high-level communications and perception consulting services. See www.excessnoise.com. Here's our first of two excerpts from his virtual talk, Shaping the Future of Ham Radio, prepared for the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo.
About 3 years ago, after tearing down our field day setup, a group of us was sitting around a picnic table doing our hot wash. As we were talking about CW, one of my buddies throws out an innocent question. He asks, "Sorry to change the subject, but how many hams do you think operate CW?" So we do a Google search and a Bing and a DuckDuckGo and poke around the ARRL and a few forums, and sure enough, we find no conclusive data. Nowhere can we find, at least not in the public domain, how many amateur radio operators today actively practice CW. I knew there were some surveys out there. I also knew that some large organizations in the amateur radio world, as well as some publications, had asked this question before. But if they had an answer, we sure could not find it on the internet. When I got home that Sunday night, as we all do after field day, the question haunted me. What's more, I started to have all sorts of other questions about amateur radio. Lots and lots of them. For instance, how much did operators spend on equipment every year? What time of day was favored to operate? Did hams have a band preference that they chose over the others? And so on and so on. I won't bore you with the research that ensued, other than to say that we did find one good survey. You've probably seen it. It's called State of the Hobby. And while it's a really good project launched by N8RMA, we had something slightly different in mind. So after refining the concept, a first set of questions was drafted. I admit, perhaps too many of them were drafted, at which point my first instinct was to reduce the number. Having had experience with large-scale surveys in the past, I knew from experience that people's attention span was short. But which questions would I cut out? They all seemed relevant. Also, when I started to share the questions with friends, rather than want to cut some out, they started to point out all the questions I was missing. The result, it's called Ham Census. And the URL is hamcensus.org. If you've taken the census, you know that it is not short. It actually takes 30 to 40 minutes for most people to complete it. I admit, when we went live, I was scared that no one would complete it. They would start, but then give up. I am pleased to report that despite a few vocal critics who have called Ham Census a total waste of their time, 70% of people who start actually finish. By survey standards, that is a huge number. What's more, people have been sending me reviews and ratings that show me we are on the right track. So what was I going to do with all this data? When we launched, I was treated to a barrage of negatives. "You're going to resell my data, aren't you? My data isn't safe with you. I don't want to give you my name. Why can't I do this anonymously?" And so on and so on. Rather than get into a shouting match, I let it go. But frankly, as operators, the whole world knows our name and address. And it does not take a genius to deduce that if I have your call sign, you likely have an ARRL address or a rack address. What's more, not only do we not sell our data, it's exclusively for your usage. 100%. All we ask is that you finish the census. Once you finish, that's it. You get to see all the data. And my favorite, you get to see it in real time. Every time someone answers, the graphs are updated. Have we been successful? It depends how you measure success. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you I keep spending money on ham stuff. And that includes both ham census and my other pet project, Ham Community. But from the bottom of my heart, I believe that we have been successful because people have taken the census seriously. One section in particular. You see, after I had finished the final draft of questions, the multiple choice questions, I realized that I was not giving participants an actual voice. Sure, I could have asked them what they thought of something, but that if I let them send an actual message to amateur radio's key stakeholders, that might be more powerful. We did just that. The census ends with three questions, asking census participants to deliver their own message to authorities and associations such as the FCC, ARRL, RAC, or any other national or international body. Secondly, they could speak to manufacturers directly. Give manufacturers a message. And lastly, we asked them what they would like to say to other hams. And this is where I would like to begin today. I'd like to read you some of the very thoughtful messages that have been written, and I have confirmation read by many in the industry who had not until now had a source of direct, unbiased feedback from operators. Let's start with a selection of messages written by hams to manufacturers. And here I quote, without corrections or editing of any kind. I quote, ARRL, more emphasis on bringing young people into the fold. End quote. This I've seen over and over, a call for more young people, but we know this. We talk about this a lot. The challenge, of course, does remain how, but that's for another day. We also get some more technical messages, such as, digital modes should be regulated by bandwidth, not by baud rate. Another common theme is enforcement. One participant says, I quote, we have all kinds of regulation in CFR 97, but there is very little policing. We need to have more, better enforcement. Operators are also sensitive to the reduction of our bands. I quote, please stop selling our bands for commercial usage. And while some comments are short, others are much longer. Here is one that I found particularly eloquent. He or she says, please continue to recognize that this hobby is one in which people are deeply passionate. For many, it is the hobby of their lifetime. For some, it is the only creative, technical, social outlet they have. Please do work to keep the heart of amateur radio beating. The passion and love for this hobby needs to be protected as much as the frequencies. What helps keep the passion going? Protecting the frequencies, eliminating interference caused by consumer non-ham gadgets, and loudly stating that this radio service is important to the nation. He or she continues, idea, include a note about how important amateur radio is to the nation when you publish the next news release about the latest fine issued to someone for malicious interference. These are some of the messages aimed at authorities and associations.
You're listening to our first excerpt from Shaping the Future of Ham Radio, a virtual talk prepared and delivered for the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. We'll continue this first of two excerpts from Jim's talk after you identify your station. This is Rain Hamcast number 54, released November 13th, 2021. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're tuned to the Rain Hamcast from Chicago, available both on therainreport.com and the Rain Report page on YouTube.
Thank you.
Next, let's look at some aimed at manufacturers. Presumably an old-timer suggests that we need, I quote, more kit radios, like in the Heathkit days. And not everyone is critical. Some seem really happy, like this respondent who seems actually quite grateful. He or she says, I quote, "Thanks for supporting us. Today's gear is top-notch and getting better all the time." Yet another exclaims, I quote, "Keep up the good work." But ultimately, the critical ones outnumber the favorable ones. Here are a few in rapid fire. I quote, "More durable gear, please." Or I quote, "Your Pactor modems are too expensive." Or again, I quote, "Repair parts become unavailable way too soon. Should make it easier for third-party repair shops." And the last one I'd like to read on the manufacturer's column many consider to be very valuable. The comment is, I quote, "It feels to me that mid to top line radios are being manufactured only to be replaced by the next latest greatest a couple of years later. Please commit to a really solid rig, promise to support it, update it with firmware and new features, and make it last." He or she continues, "Hams want to buy in for the long haul." I don't know about you, but I find that these statements are useful. I hope that you agree. Which brings us to the third column, the messages by hams to fellow hams. There is one theme that rules them all. By far, the main beef is on-air attitude. Here's a first comment. "Be nicer on the air and at in-person events, and don't give a spotlight to those who aren't." Or another says, "Be more inclusive of younger hams and stop being arrogant know-it-alls towards newcomers to the hobby." Some comments are more blunt, like this one, which simply reads, "Don't be an ass." Another says, "Remember that it's only a hobby. Stop getting angry with each other." But yes, there are also many positive ham-to-ham comments. None sweeter than this one, though he does get in a micro jab. He or she says, "I love this hobby and the 98% of you who are great operators. Hope to catch you all on the bands." I hope that I'm one of those 98%. So that's one part of the census, but the meat are the questions, the nearly 250 of them. You heard right. But like I said earlier, you might hate me for it, but most who take the census end up agreeing that the time was well spent. What I'd like to do today is go straight to the heart of our talk, which is the results. There are two main results sections, the actual graphs and the hopes and frustrations, which is what I just read you. So messages of hope and frustration. And as I told you, you've got the two authorities and associations section, you've got the gear manufacturers, and you've got two fellow hands. If you have filled out the census, you will be able to read all the comments. Let me just pull one out. This is to manufacturers. "Base output power should be 200 watts. Increase the sensitivity and performance of receivers. Making the features of your products as easy to access as possible. COM ports and computer interfaces are great." Again, I haven't picked these out. I'm just scrolling down, and here's a short one. This is to authorities and associations. "Increase enforcement of on-air infractions. More needs to be done to limit the proliferation of radio frequency interference within the amateur radio bands." So again, as I mentioned before, enforcement seems to be a big thing. Anyway, this thing continues for a long ways, and then you can go to the next page, and there are indeed lots and lots and lots of comments to read. So now let's go to the first part of the results, which is the graphs. It's a very big page, and so you will see, please read, this is a very long page, it takes time to load, wait for the bar below to start moving, and to reach 10 before moving the mouse or scrolling. And now the entire page is loaded. Again, if you have filled out the census, you will get to look at all the results. If you have not filled out the census, I still give you a small section to peruse, a little sample, but not the full census. So again, I'm just going to scroll down and pick a few out. "Do you consider yourself a very active ham, active, occasional, rare?" Clearly only 19% consider themselves to be very active hams, but if you had very active and active, it's a big chunk, so yeah, definitely most of the amateur radio operators who answered the survey from, I repeat, 28 countries. Yeah, we've had respondents from 28 countries. Let's go down. Bands operated, yeah, all over the place. Bands you're currently able to transmit, pretty much all over the place. Contact logging is interesting. A lot of people have never logged a contact. They have logged but no longer do. Let's go to the other end. Log every contact I made. That's not bad. So 28.4% of respondents log every contact they ever make. If you add that with almost all contacts, that's 56.6%. So that's quite high. Contact logging methods, interestingly, logbook software on the computer is the winner by far. I like this one. I ask people your two favorite HF operating time slots, and sure enough, early to mid-evening, probably for both propagation reasons and you've just gotten back from work and that's when you turn on your rig. Power is, I expected this one. Most people operate at 100 watts. You have a few of them up here at 1500, but very few. There are more people at QRP, at the QRP end, than at the QRO end. Farthest contact is interesting. By far, it was halfway around the world. A couple of people managed to go the long route and go all the way around. That's pretty impressive. Digital modes, FT8 by far. CW is an interesting one. So percentage of your total operating done in CW. The 0% and 10% win overall by far. But you still get 8.5%. who do 90% of their operating, and 2.4% do 100% of their operating. So if I come as far down as 50%, you've got about a quarter of operators do at least 50% of their operating on CW. I find that quite interesting. This is their speed of transmission. So CW sending 20, transmit is 20, is the big winner. Receive ever so slightly slower at 15, which shows me, by the way, that people are being honest, because obviously people transmit a little bit faster. So this was a really good judge. Clearly people are not into SHF and EHF. Unfamiliar, in fact. Look at that. 88% are unfamiliar with operating in those bands. So clearly there is a lot of work to be done. And I think that's what I wanted to accomplish with the census. I say I, it's we, because there were several of us involved. But we wanted to find opportunities for the amateur radio world to develop in. So if I were looking at this, I would say, hey, there is a great opportunity here to get people into a field that they are completely neglecting. And that includes manufacturers, of course. How many HTs? I love this one. 16% of respondents have over 6 HTs. I find that extraordinary. I love that. This is interesting. People who have given over-the-air assistance, and the one before is if they have been involved in MCOM, and there is interest in MCOM, involvement in emergencies. Have you ever been involved in MCOM? This is never, but 17.8% of respondents say that they have actually participated in a real-world MCOM situation. How will radio amateur be doing in 5 years? That's an interesting one. People are positive. By the way, 10 was the most favorable. People believe in amateur radio. And how is it doing now? If you look at this, it means that people think that it's going to get better. They think that it's currently in the 6, 7, 8 range, and they believe that it's going to go up to the 7, 8, 9, 10 range. I'm encouraged by the results, ham census. But before I actually do wrap up, I think it would be right for me to give you my own take on the future of ham radio.
You've just heard our first excerpt from Shaping the Future of Ham Radio, a virtual talk prepared for and presented to the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Radio Expo by Jim Alianak, K3MRI, the founding president of the Forum for the Analysis of Communications and Trends, the strategist behind the World Urban Campaign, an advisor to the World AIDS Campaign, and a founding board member of the World Prevention Alliance. We'll bring you our second excerpt from his virtual amateur radio census talk in Rain Hamcast number 55, scheduled to post November 27th, 2021. The Rain Hamcast is copyright 1985-2021 Rain. All rights are reserved. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. The downloading, sharing, posting, and transmission of this biweekly hamcast via amateur radio in its entirety is encouraged. Your feedback and support for this hamcast are welcome via therainreport.com. YouTube technical assistance, Tom Shimizu, N9JDI. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73. Keep on hamming.